Welcome to Healing for the Four Folds of Life on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, natural healing practitioner, Terry L. Page.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to another episode of Healing for the Four Folds of Life. I hope you all are doing really well this fine spring day, finally spring, I should say. But if you aren't feeling 100%, there is a possible solution for you to consider here. Acupuncture and Oriental medicine have been around for thousands of years, but it has only become popular in the U.S. over like the last decade or so. As acupuncture clinics slowly begin to open up around the country, many have begun to discover the countless benefits Eastern medicine has to offer. But if you've never been, you may still be really, you know, a little apprehensive. You may still have really no clear idea what it entails. You may not even really know exactly what you go to an acupuncturist for. Like most people, all you may associate with the word acupuncture is oriental and needles. But this time-honored healing practice, as I have recently discovered, is much more than needles and can offer you more than you know, even if you are afraid of needles. Today, I welcome my guest, practitioner of holistic acupuncture and oriental medicine, Andrea Johnson. Andrea graduated cum laude with master's degree in acupuncture and oriental medicine from South Belo University in Southern California. She is a fully certified practitioner of oriental medicine with the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. If you'd like to look that up, that's www.nccaom.org. She maintains state certifications for acupuncture in both Kentucky and California, and she is currently practicing here in Lexington, Kentucky at Stream Point Acupuncture. Welcome, Andrea. It is wonderful to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Terry. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, I've been looking forward to it. This is something I really have always wanted to look into and really have not a whole lot of experience with. I'm really looking forward to being enlightened on the wondrous health benefits that acupuncture and oriental medicine can offer, as I am sure some of our listeners are as well. There's so many myths surrounding the practice of acupuncture. I hope to give people a more accurate understanding of what acupuncture has to offer. So, Andrea, what exactly is the scope of practice of acupuncture?
It's really great, and this is one of the reasons I was so excited to get into acupuncture and oriental medicine, just because it literally has the widest scope of practice that I've seen in a lot of the holistic healing modalities. I mean, they're all wonderful, and they all have so much to offer. But what I love being able to say is when people ask me, what can acupuncture help? I can actually say almost anything, whether it's chronic pain, acute pain, digestive complaints, emotional, sleep problems. I even can see some more serious neurological conditions. I work with Alzheimer's, with different types of neuropathy, with multiple sclerosis. So it's got a huge, huge scope. And, you know, it's important to remember, though, that with the acupuncture, we never say anything is completely curative. There's no such thing as a magic pill for anything.
But it
really helps the body. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, so many people are looking for that magic pill, and it just doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe one day we'll come upon some magic pearl in the ocean. But for now, a lot of it is having to be patient, but also taking the time to take care of your body, to be conscious within yourself and within your body. And I've seen acupuncture do some amazing things in the time that I've been a practitioner.
Well, that's a good question. How long have you been practicing?
I've been practicing in Lexington for a year, and then in California, as part of my clinical residency, I've practiced in my school clinic for 2 years, so about 3 total.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds like so much fun. California, so that's where you studied. What kind of education did you have for this?
It is an incredibly rigorous program, a lot more so than I realized going into it. The actual acupuncture oriental medicine program in California is about 3 to 5 years, depending on how fast you want to go through it. And that includes about 3,000 to 3,500 hours of education, depending on how many electives you take. And about 1,000 hours of that is actually Western medicine, too. So we have to know pathology, pharmacology, internal medicine. I mean, we really do get a pretty rigorous education. And then we also have to complete a two-year clinical residency working on patients under the supervision of our mentors in the clinic. And after we matriculate, we go through our examination process. So in California, you have your own separate state licensure examination, which everyone says is like running the gauntlet. It's an incredibly difficult examination. And then to practice anywhere else in the United States, you have to take another four examinations with NCCAOM. And then once that's all done, then you're allowed to apply for state licensure. So it was about a four, for me, it was about a 4.5-year process from moment walking into my first classroom to actually putting my first needle as a private practitioner.
Wow, that's quite a gauntlet you've had to endure. That's almost as complicated as trying to be an MD. You know, I mean, you have so many things that you've got to study there on top of what, you know, the actual body. because I guess you've got to study, the whole body, and then you've got to study what to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. It always makes me kind of giggle on the inside when my patients ask me how I know where to put the needles. And I was like, well, that's why I went to school for 4 years to do it.
Yeah, it goes back to that old joke about it, you know, it's $100 to push the switch. Or no, it's $1 to push the switch, $100 to know which one, you know.
yeah, exactly.
Let's see. What exactly does a treatment entail? I mean, I know it's so vast, it's kind of hard to pinpoint something, but like, what would somebody who's just curious and wanted to come and experience it, what would they likely experience?
So the first treatment, they usually take a little bit longer. You are looking at coming in for about an hour and a half, and it starts off like most doctor's visits. We have paperwork for you that has a pretty comprehensive health history. But we also ask questions in the beginning, too, to look at things that maybe some Western medicine doctors don't look at. We like to know your appetite preferences. We like to know what your sleep schedule is like, if you're a vivid dreamer. We like to know about some of your coping mechanisms, some of your self-perceptions. We really do try to get a truly holistic understanding of the person when they come in, you know, mind, body, and spirit. And I always like to go through the paperwork with my patients after they filled it out, just so I can make sure that I've got a good idea of what they're trying to say, so there's nothing lost in translation. And then we do a pretty comprehensive examination. Sometimes I'll do different types of muscle tests or neurological tests, or sometimes I'll do some different examinations on the body, depending on what their condition is and what they're looking for acupuncture. And then once that's all out of the way, then we go into something that's very specific to Chinese medicine or Oriental medicine, depending on who you ask, and that's looking at tongue and pulse. So both the tongue and pulse kind of give us a roadmap of what's going on inside the body. Where is the qi blocked? Where is there a deficiency? Where is there an excess? So with the tongue, we make people stick their tongues at us. They have to stick them out for a good 30 seconds, which is always fun. And we look for the color. So, for example, if the color is red, we think, okay, there's something going on that's causing a lot of heat in the body. Or, oh, you see that it's really dry. Okay, so maybe they're not getting enough hydration. So there's all these little kind of tricks. There are people say we sound like fortune tellers when we start asking them questions. A red tip, for example, on the end of the tongue usually indicates that they're not sleeping well. So if someone hasn't mentioned that, and I take a peek at their tongue, I'll say, you haven't been sleeping well the last few nights, have you? I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you know? And the pulse is also very similar. We feel the pulse on both sides. And again, we actually feel the pulse for about 30 seconds on each wrist. And we look in different positions with different types of pressure. And depending on where we're pressing, we're actually looking for the qi state or the energetic state of an individual organ or an organ pair. So we can
you mentioned that before, and that was really fascinating that the pulse on different spots goes to different organs, and you can tell how well that organ is doing. That is fascinating.
Yeah. It also people always kind of get blown away, too, where you can feel certain spots and say, oh, have you hurt your shoulder in this last year? You're struggling with your digestion right now. And you can really get a lot. Some practitioners choose to go exclusively with tongue and pulse, and they won't spend a whole lot of time on the intake. For me, though, establishing that communication and that kind of level of rapport with my patients, I like to be able to talk to them first. And I really use tongue and pulse more just to confirm some of the things that we've already talked about. And after that's done, I usually lie people down on the table. I usually start people face down for their first treatment just because getting the acupuncture on the back is just a little bit more relaxing. Part of it, I think, is just the fact that they can't see what's going on.
Some of the anxiety out of it.
See someone putting a needle in your body, if you've never had that experience before, it can be a little bit unnerving. So I usually treat on the back first, and I usually start people off with a really small breathing exercise just so they can relax and kind of realize that they're in a safe place. There is no pain involved. I know we'll touch on what it feels like here in a minute. And after all the needles are in, I usually use about, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 on the first treatment, and they stay in for about half an hour. I've got lots of, try to put the ambiance with some, you know, table warmer, dim lighting, nice music, and then after their treatment's over, you take the needles out, and I like to come up with a little treatment plan for them so they can kind of get an idea of how they can maximize the benefit and what they can expect to happen over the next few months. And then hopefully we'll get it back in for a follow-up.
Wow. That sounds like, yeah, how long does this take?
Yeah, the first treatments are usually about an hour and a half from, you know, from the time they walk into the door to the time they float out.
So. That's quite involved. You're painting a whole portrait of this person. So you're really getting a good idea of what makes this person tick.
Yes, yeah. I came from a psychology background. Before I decided on acupuncture, I wanted to be a health psychologist. So I really do value my connections with my patients and really trying to help them understand that if this is not like going to a traditional doctor's office where they get 5 minutes to explain what's going on with them and then I write them a prescription for pills and send them on their way.
Yeah, yeah. They get a lot more personal one-on-one treatment here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that alone would sell a lot of people because the medicine, Western medicine can be quite cold in many ways, especially in a very busy setting. And you do, you literally get to, you know, you talk to a nurse or you talk to a doctor briefly and then you're out the door before you even know what happened. And then you think of your questions on the way home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They give you all the feedbacks. I shouldn't say that for all of them, though. I know quite a few Western doctors who are very dear friends, but
yeah, there are some that are fantastic. And yeah, but there are. I have been in some where, you know, I've been out the door before I even knew what happened.
Yeah, and I kind of think, wait, am I actually getting treated for what I wanted to go in for?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you're listening to what your patient is telling you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you'll find lots of clues just by listening to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Even clues that they're not aware of.
Yeah, and that's actually one of my favorite moments is when I'm trying to talk with somebody and they actually realize a pattern or something that's going on completely on their own just by being given the space and time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times there's healing just in that moment. When the body or they become aware of something, oh, maybe that's why this is causing me an upset tummy, or maybe this is why I haven't been able to sleep. And there's a relief that happens, you know, mm-hmm. just in that very moment. I think a lot of times people just need a safe space, you know, to talk freely, to become aware of their bodies, to kind of get reacquainted with themselves again. So I like to be able to try to provide that in addition to the little tools that I offer as well.
That's awesome. I know, because a lot of times, especially when I was in school, I didn't understand why something was, it just didn't click. And a lot of times I'll ask, you know, people in my room, do you want me to tell you what's going on so you understand? Some of them don't care at all. Others,
yeah,
you know, they like the narrative, you know.
Mm-hmm. I do, and I have a good selection of people, too, that come in, and I respect their wishes. They come in and say, I don't really want to talk. I just need to check out for a little while, and that's completely okay too. That's a nice thing about what I do.
Acupuncture can be a stress release as well.
Oh my gosh, it is my go-to stress relief. There's actually an acupuncture point where it's between the eyebrows in the area of the third eye. For people that are familiar with Ooh. The chakras, we call it Yin Tong, which means spirit hall. And so I have that one between my eyebrows more often than not, and so. My coworkers always tease me when I come walking up and down the halls with little needles in my forehead. Not relax with me, though. I swear.
Hey, at least you practice what you preach, right?
Oh, absolutely. I get acupuncture once a week. I'm very lucky to work with another acupuncturist. His name's Harbin Fields. He's a native Kentuckian, and I feel so lucky to be able to work with another acupuncturist because, as you can imagine, I can't reach all the acupuncture points on my own body, so it's a little difficult to treat myself.
Yes. This is true. It's, you know, it's with practitioners of all types of body work. It's like, if I could only spend 30 minutes outside of myself working on myself, I'd be okay.
yeah, exactly. I've tried acupuncturing myself on the back before, and it didn't turn out well. I was looking around, and I just thought, yeah, no, I can't reach this. This is silly.
Well, how would you know if you got the right point? You may not be able to reach
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. You need a mirror and extra long arms, I suppose, and probably eyes in the back of your head,
They just don't bend right, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that's good. You know, a lot of times somebody, you know, a doctor would recommend something, and I would say, especially if it was for my child, I would say, well, would you give this to your child? Well, at least you're using what you recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. And truth be told, there are some people I don't think acupuncture is good for. And that's why there's so many great different modalities out there. I mean, there's different types of energy work. There's homeopathy. There's flower essences. There's massage. I mean, the possibilities are limitless. And it really comes down to a resonance. Some people really don't resonate with acupuncture. And I've worked on people, for example, someone may come in with some back pain, which you would think acupuncture, it's absolutely going to help it. And, you know, 99% of the time it does. And every once in a while, I'll come across someone who just really isn't responding to it. And I'll say, you know what? It's nothing, absolutely nothing personal. And it's nothing wrong on either one of our parts. Maybe acupuncture is just not resonating with you. And we'll find you something else that's going to help. So I think as a practitioner, you have to kind of maintain that sense of humility about what you do. And you're not going to be, you know, a cure-all for everybody that's out there.
Yeah, that's important for, I think, all modalities. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to Healing for the Four Folds of Life. Here's Terry Page.
Welcome back, everybody, and joining us today is Andrea Johnson, a holistic acupuncturist. Now, Andrea, I know when we talked before, you have mentioned that there are other things that you do besides just the acupuncture needles. What sort of things are there besides the needles that you do?
Well, there's actually quite a few different modalities that we can offer besides acupuncture. One of them, which is the most common, are using Chinese herbal formulas, and they can be a pretty powerful adjunct to acupuncture care. They are usually used like regular supplements that you would see. They're to strengthen, build, and support the body, or to actually clear the conditions like a cold or a fever or some kinds of acute pain. So we prescribe those usually after about 3 to 4 acupuncture visits. If we really don't think the acupuncture is quite enough on its own, we usually add in herbs. Or some people just may not like needles at all, or some people that are taking blood thinners, like Coumadine or other similar medications.
Warfarin, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. We do a type of body work which is called Cuina, C-U-I-N-A. And it directly translates as push breath. And it is a massage-like technique that was aiming to move qi or energy in various parts of the body. And it can also be used to relieve, you know, your standard muscle tension and inflammation and pain. And then it's actually a nice, I like to use Cuina after the treatment's over, especially because some more sensitive people with acupuncture, while they're lying with their needles, they kind of float off, you know, you can drift off into kind of like a half asleep state, and actually having those firm compressions on the body again to kind of wake you up again kind of brings you back into your body a little bit. Another one we use quite frequently is called cupping, and that's what you've seen in all the athletes on the Olympics. I think Jennifer Aniston just got caught having cupping, and that's when you see the little circles on the back that look like you've been attacked by a giant squid. it's also a therapy that's designed to stimulate the flow of qi and blood within the body. We can use it for sore muscles and tension and neck pain, And it's also used for the common cold. And the reason we use that is in traditional Chinese medicine, the viruses like the cold or any kind of upper respiratory infection actually gets into your body through the back of your neck, kind of at the nape of your neck. We call it Feng Men, which means it invades. And so we actually use the cupping on that area of the back literally to try to suck the cold out again. So people that come in within the first 12 to 24 hours of a bug, we usually do cupping. Once we take the cup, we light a alcohol-soaked cotton ball on fire, and then we put the fire inside the cup to suck out the oxygen, and then very quickly remove the cotton ball and place the cup on the back, and that's what creates the vacuum. And you can either just leave it in place or you can move it around, and it kind of acts like a deep tissue massage. Another similar one is something called Gua Sha, which is very similar, actually, chiropractors and physical therapists and other body workers are using it now. They're calling it a tool for myofascial release, which is exactly what Gua Sha does. It's a very small tool. The traditional is we use little pieces of jade, which is what I like to use. And again, you kind of use it to scrape the superficial muscular layers of the body, usually, again, on the back. And some of the larger muscle groups, like the quads and the biceps and the calf. And that's, again, somewhat like a myofascial release technique. And then the last one we use is called moxibustion. And moxibustion is a treatment that uses an herb that's been heavily compacted. It's called mugwort. And we usually, it comes like a giant incense stick. And we light it again, and it burns almost like an incense. And then we kind of place it over the body over certain acupuncture points. And the theory is that the acupuncture point absorbs the herbal qualities of the moxa. And so we usually use that for people that have arthritic pain that gets worse in cold weather or edema, swelling, and those sorts of things. So there are a lot of different modalities that we have to get trained in. It's not, acupuncture is the anchor. And then we've kind of got these auxiliary treatments that we implement basically.
Wow, it sounds like, yeah, there's a lot involved. So even if you are afraid of needles, there's plenty of things that you could get acclimated with until you get brave enough to actually try the needles.
Yeah, and I do that for a lot of people, especially with children. I do some work with children, and it's understandable. They're very young. They don't quite understand what's happening just yet. So I'll do some of these auxiliary treatments. And there's also acupressure, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of, which is exactly what it sounds like. You're just using your fingers to press on the acupuncture points instead of inserting a needle. So I can do that with a lot of people who are just a little bit nervous at first, or for children, and also for animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it works great on animals. I actually use a lot of acupressure in my practice as well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take as much pressure as people think. They think you have to push really hard, and not always. I mean, the animals love it. They keep coming back for more.
Yep.
When my dachshund, when she was 4 years old, we woke up Super Bowl Sunday, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. And they said that they thought she had fallen off of the chair, because she was always jumping on chairs. And it just, you know, and injured her back. And they said, well, you either get this expensive surgery or you put her down. I said, nope. So we did herbs. I did massage. I did acupressure. I had to go get charts for little doggies. I mean, it was cute. And work on the plates. I took her to a doggy chiropractor. And, you know, she walked. She's 14, almost 15 now.
That's amazing. Animals,
yeah.
And what I love about working with animals and with children, too, is that there's no bias there. So we see them getting better.
They don't lie to you.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I was lucky enough. I got to work on a friend's horse very, very casually. I went to go visit him and just did some very gentle acupressure on the back of his neck. And I've never seen a horse so engaged before. And every time I would move my hands away, he just look at me and go, hey, you're not
come gonna back here.
Yeah.
Did he start following you around?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hey, they know what's good. Animals have a better sense of what's good for them than we do. So children will too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, children are incredibly perceptive of people. They know if someone is there really to help them or not.
Well, I think they automatically feel the changes in their body. They're much more aware of some things like this than adults are. Any children with certain issues, like maybe like Asperger's or anything?
I haven't worked with any of the Asperger's or ADHD just yet. What I have worked with the most is actually allergies. That's been a really common thing that I see. And what's great about working with children, too, because like you said, they feel the changes so much quicker. Most of the time, the acupuncture, if they are able to receive the needles, they don't need to stay in for very long. You can see immediate changes after the needles have only been in for sometimes even a few seconds. And it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I find working with children and young people in general, because their bodies just are so responsive.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have all the layers of injury and garbage that older people collected through the years. Let's see. What kind of results do you typically see with acupuncture or with oriental medicine? I mean, like anything, like you said, it's not an overnight thing. You're not going to walk out cured, so.
Yeah.
What kind of people experience or expect?
Yeah. So the most common thing people come in for acupuncture is pain. And usually, right after the treatment, most people will feel some benefits right away, whether it's the headache being. Headaches are actually really, really easy to work with. A lot of times if someone comes in with a headache, they can usually leave without a headache, which is really nice.
Well, that would be wonderful for many people,
Especially the springtime when I've seen a lot of migraines, like seasonal migraines, people coming in, and you can usually nip it in the bud. But as a general rule, you should start noticing benefits right away, and they'll usually last for a few days. And then you'll start to notice the condition kind of creeping back again, especially if it's something that's really chronic, that's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we always say it's my acupuncture is like a crock pot, it's not a microwave. I always tell people that it may take a little bit longer than taking a pill, but the results are going to be better and they're going to be longer lasting the more you stick with it. So usually for a condition, I like to see people coming in on a weekly basis if it's feasible for them for about 6 sessions. And then they're at a point where they've got it under control, and then they just start coming in for little tune-ups.
Right.
And when I check
that's,
it,
yeah.
People,
so like a good rule of thumb for the what I tell people is 1 year or 1 month for every year you've had the problem. It's not going to, you didn't get into this trouble right away. It's not going to go away right away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If this has been going on, I mean, I've had some people, I feel for them. They've been in pain for 40 years. And it's going to take a little bit of time to get you out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
But just if they stick with it, if they can stay on top of their appointments. And I try to send people home with homework and how to supplement their care to make their effects longer lasting.
What kind of homework would you typically give somebody, say with back pain or neck pain, headaches, something like that?
Yeah, with pain conditions, I usually send them home with some stretching and some very light movements to work on. A lot of times pain is from restrictions or from stagnation, from just the lack of movement. So there are some very basic exercises. I like to use a lot of Qigong exercises, which is basically the oriental version of like a movement-based meditation with breath work and slow body movement.
And is it similar to Tai Chi?
It is. It's very, very similar to Tai Chi. It uses a lot of the same motions. They're just they're much slower, and they're much more used for meditation rather than a martial art. But they're
so it's
they're like
it's more for healing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm a big fan of getting people on a healthy diet. I don't make it very complicated. I know a lot of people, you hear all these fancy diets that are out there. There's the paleo diet, the Celsius diet, the this diet. And they're fine for people that like them. But for a lot of people, eating healthy doesn't have to really be that complicated. Stay away from stuff that aggravates you. I know, unfortunately, for a lot of people, it's dairy, especially with allergies. I try to say, just moderate your dairy intake, moderate your white flour intake, because that's also a trigger for a lot of migraines, too. and sugar and, you know, moderating the alcohol and the caffeine. And then when they say, okay, I can know what to take out, what do I put in the diet? And I say, keep it simple. Make your plates colorful. The more colors you have on your plate, probably the healthier it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of
if they just adopt one healthy thing every couple of weeks, at least they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm a big fan, again, because I come from a little psychology background. I really like to give people more, like, thought patterns or mind techniques to take home with them, whether it's hitting exercises, doing affirmations, or learning how to meditate or do some relaxation exercises, little things like that. So even regardless if they're coming in for stress relief or not, anyone who tells me that they're not stressed out, I tend to say, uh-huh. Okay.
You just don't know you are.
Yeah, exactly. So almost everyone that ends up on my table, I do some sort of stress work with them.
You know, that's important, though, because people tend to focus on their disease or their problem rather than the healing aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, if I end up with a pain or an injury or an illness, I refuse to own it. It's not staying. Hell or high water, I'm finding a way to get rid of it.
Yeah, and almost, I mean, that was one of the things the first things they teach us in the acupuncture program was that 90% of conditions that you see, whether they're aware of it or not, comes from an emotional root. Whether the emotion was the actual cause, or if it's just kind of a facilitator, or if it's aggravating something. So regardless of what someone's coming in for, you have to work with the emotions, whether you're doing it directly, making them talk about it, or doing a little bit more passively, you know, just with your selection of acupuncture points to kind of help settle the emotions a little bit.
If people remember mind, body, spirit, but they forget that the emotions are an extremely powerful force.
Absolutely. And one of the major theories with acupuncture is we call it five-element theory. And that's that the body is basically a small expression of the entire universe. So you've got all of these elements in your body, you know, wood, fire, earth, water, air. And each of those has an emotion that's attached to it, an organ that's attached to it, a particular body part that's attached to it. So it's really interesting when we see people who have, let's say, anger management issues. That's why you see they get red in the face, because anger affects the liver and the heart. And you've got all these little connections that we can find. And a lot of times if someone's coming in, my low back's really, really sore. For us, that's usually an issue with the kidneys. And I say, is there something that you're going through right now that's instigating a lot of fear? And, no, I'm not scared of anything. And then 3 weeks later, I've actually been really scared about this job that I'm trying to keep, or... It's really interesting how your body will express to you physically what's going on emotionally, especially for people that, for whatever reason, have lost touch with their emotions. And your body goes, well, if you're not going to feel the emotion, I'm going to give you a physical manifestation of it, and maybe then you'll pay attention to me.
Yeah, it's like the little kid that gets louder and louder and louder until you pay attention. Okay, we are going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back, so stay with us.
And now, more healing for the four folds of life on TalkZone.com. Here's Terry Page.
Welcome back, everybody, and we're speaking with Andrea Johnson, practitioner of holistic acupuncture and oriental medicine. Now, Andrea, what inspired you to get into this field of healing?
It was actually a very interesting story, because for my entire life, I've always been exposed to holistic healing modalities, and it really started with my mom's parents, her mom and dad, and you know, when I was 3 years old, I was introduced to meditation, and my grandpa they called it instead of giving me a mantra, they called it my happy word. And so that was a little bit easier for a 3-year old to digest.
That's too cute.
And as I
have to remember that.
Yeah, the happy word. My grandpa was a Western medicine practitioner, family medicine and obstetrics. And as he grew in his practice, he really realized that there was a lot more to healing than just medicine. And kind of tragically, when my grandma passed away when I was very young, and especially when she passed away, he really, really decided, you know what, Western medicine is really great for trauma and for acute conditions, but when it comes to really maintaining your health, you have to look elsewhere. So yeah. He actually, he still practiced all the way into his 70s, but he did almost exclusively what would be considered holistic medicine, nutrition, meditation. He's a big proponent of what's called emotional freedom technique, which is the tapping. And so he's kind of molded me my entire life. And it was really interesting because when I got into my undergrad, I was doing psychology. It never hit me to make that my career choice. I always thought that I had to do something more socially acceptable. And when I graduated from my undergrad, I actually had this epiphany when I was trying to figure out, do I want to do a PhD in clinical psychology and spend the next 8 years doing research, or do I want to do something with my hands? And I literally had this moment of course I want to work with my hands. Why have I not thought about this sooner?
One of those dumb moments, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, seriously, face palm on the forehead. And so I was like, okay, I know I want to work with my hands now. What do I want to do? So I read a couple of different books about the different medicines that were available in Southern California. And I read a book called Between Heaven and Earth, which is a beautiful introduction into the whole theory behind Oriental medicine. And it completely blew my mind because it came from a place talking about health and the human body and the human experience and our connection with nature. It was something that I always thought about on my own. And when I saw it confirmed a pretty reputable book, I was like, oh my goodness, this is what I meant to do. And I actually enrolled in the program a few months later. And so the rest is history. And I've never looked back. I'm so happy doing what I'm doing.
Well, it's similar to something. Yeah, I had one of those dumb moments when somebody goes, did you ever think about doing this? You'd be good at it. I'm like, what's this? You know? It's like, duh, it should have been right there, but, you know.
Well, even in my undergrad, yeah, I mean, I was the president of the meditation club at my university. I went to
awesome.
The University of California, Irvine, and we had a Tai Chi group, and we actually had our Tai Chi teacher did acupuncture. I went and got acupuncture a couple times in my undergrad, so looking back, like, what was I thinking? Why did I not think about this sooner? But then I have to remind myself that everything comes as it's supposed to when it's supposed to. So
this is true. When we're ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So I remember for years not knowing what I wanted to change, but not knowing what it was. So I just kept repeating to myself, I'll make my, you know, I'll prepare myself. The teacher will make themselves known. And sooner or later mm-hmm. they do. So that's totally awesome. Now you were talking earlier about the different emotions and things. Do you ever involve like the Chinese clock? I know I have a chart in my office that I'm totally fascinated with.
Yes.
the Chinese clock. And a lot of people go, the what?
The Chinese clock, we call it the circadian flow, is absolutely fascinating. So every organ, if I think it's the same clock you're talking about, is every organ has 2 hours in the
yes.
day when
yes.
it's the most active. And we can use it for balancing emotions. We can use it for selecting what time of day they should come in for their appointment. For example, the spleen. Which mm-hmm. is almost always deficient in the Western culture. So I say, okay, well, the spleen is active between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. So for you, coming in the morning would be perfect.
Right.
Whereas some people, let's say it's a kidney issue, which is like low back pain, arthritis, memory loss, those are kind of things that kidneys are involved with. And that's from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., so try to see them a little later. Another thing that's really interesting is that you look at what's called clock opposite, because acupuncture is very much about balancing. So you don't actually, sometimes you don't actively go into the area of the problem. So let's say you've got pain on your right elbow, and oftentimes right-sided elbow pain, you say is a blockage in the meridian or the energy pathway for the large intestine. The large intestine is from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. That's this little time. So it's opposite. 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. is the kidneys. So then you move on to the left side of the body, and you work on the kidneys. And you kind of use those. So you can use that clock to balance. We call it balance method, actually.
That's and, cool. That's really a unique way of looking at it, because there's always two parts to everything.
Yeah, and really, it's always entertaining when someone says, oh, my elbow hurts, and I start putting needles in their opposite side on their knee.
Yeah. Like,
no, my elbow.
What are you doing?
I say, yeah, I know. Trust me. And that's actually one of my favorite things to do for people that are maybe a little bit skeptical of acupuncture. Tons of shoulders is one of the easiest things that you can get immediate results with, and you actually work on the opposite side of the body, kind of down on their shin area. And I'll have them say, okay, rotate your shoulder. I can't do it very much. The range of motion is really stiff. I'll put a needle in and kind of do some stimulation with it as they're doing their shoulder rolls, and all of a sudden, they'll feel this relief, and all of a sudden they'll lift their arm way above their head and go, what? How did you do that? Why is that working? Why is the needle in my leg, and how is this helping my shoulder? And I said, well, it's balancing.
So see, there is a little bit of magic involved.
A little bit. I've been called so many, always coming from a cute place, but I've been called like voodoo doctor and my dad, who I love to pieces. He tells all of his buddies that his daughter is like a witch doctor or something.
Yeah, I've been called that before too, so I can identify.
And it's because I've done what he calls really scary stuff like that, where his shoulder gets stuff. And I'm like, okay, give me your leg. And his shoulder will release, or he threw out his back once, and I actually did some work on his upper lip. I don't really put needles there because it is a little bit painful when there's a lot of nerves there. So I just put some pressure on his upper lip, and he got up and looked at me, and he's like, I can walk. How did you do that?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, but for the most part, though, the acupuncture needles really don't hurt. When people always ask, that's always a big question that people have when they come in, especially their first time, is, well, you know, is it going to hurt me? And most of the time, you'll feel a teeny tiny little poke, which is about the same as kind of poking your skin with your fingernail. That's really the sensation that you still want to poke in. And then I've noticed that people that are a little bit more sensitive and in their bodies, they'll feel a relief or pressure or a movement of sorts. Almost like that feeling when you're getting a massage and you can feel that relief when the muscle finally relaxes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll feel that for about a second. And then, or sometimes you'll feel nothing at all. And after the needles are in, almost all of my patients will relax. Some of them fall asleep. I've definitely walked in a few times back into the room to people sawing logs. And yeah, it really is not a painful experience. Now, some of the points on the hands and feet are a little bit more sensitive, but again, it's fleeting. It's about a second, and it's just that initial little poke sensation that you feel. But the needles are so tiny; they're about the circumference of a cat whisker.
they're really, really tiny. Yeah. I guess it's just the whole idea of looking like a pain cushion, but that they're really not put in that deep, are they?
It depends on the spot in the body. For the most part, the arms and legs, the needles that we use, they usually go in maybe about half an inch. Now, some of the spots on the back, because we put them in at an angle, you can put them in a little bit deeper. But especially with the back, you really don't feel the ones on the back at all. It's always nice when I have someone coming in that's a little bit nervous, and I'm like, well, just lie down, relax, have them do a couple of breathing exercises, and then I'll have three needles in before they realize that I've started.
Yeah. Well, okay, the skin is thicker back there too, so they're probably, it's more in their head than anything else. I mean, that's true with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the first time I had to get my daughter, who just turned 11, to give blood for a blood test, I practically had to sit in the chair and hog tie her, and she didn't feel it because it was such a teensy needle, and they were in and out before she even knew what happened, But it's all in her head. It was all the fear and then the anxiety. Yeah. And this is what I was trying to hope to achieve a little bit with this show is to take some of the anxiety and the mystery out of it so that people would say, well, maybe I do need to give that a try, or maybe it's worth checking into.
Yeah, and, absolutely. And I always tell people, too, if after, the first couple of needles, you really don't like it, it really won't hurt my feelings if they don't want to continue. I really do try to maintain a sense of this, the treatment is about them and what they want and what they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I always try to make people feel like it's that sense of safety. Again, this is a safe place for me. I can be honest. I can say I like this, I don't. And there have been a couple of people who, after a couple of needles, said, you know what? I can't dispel the anxiety. Yeah, maybe it's not hurting me, but the anxiety is just too much. So it's no problem. You take them out. Mm-hmm. I'll do some body work instead. Maybe we'll talk about nutrition. And, which is really nice that we have all those additional modalities that we can offer as
right.
well, just for situations like that.
So what would you recommend someone, new that has never tried acupuncture, how should they go about finding a good fit for an acupuncturist for them?
The best thing you can do is go to the NCCAOM website, and there's actually a practitioner directory in there where you can search for somebody in your area. After that, the practitioner listing on the NCCAOM website should direct you to their main website. And then I tell people, just read through the website a little bit, look at their mission statement, look at their bios, make sure that they're accredited, make sure that they're licensed, make sure that they've passed their board examinations. And a good acupuncturist, if you just want to call them, a good one should offer you a free consultation. I always tell people that if they just want to come in and chat first, I do that completely free of charge. And then it's really just about finding someone that you can connect with, that you feel safe with, and that resonates with you. It really just comes down, mm-hmm. Comes down to that. And, price is a realistic thing to look for too. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. in Kentucky, insurance does not cover acupuncture right now. And mm-hmm. so, again, we have our set rates, but we always work with people to try to make it affordable for them, because we really feel that your health and well-being is not a luxury. It's a human right.
Right.
To maintain your wellness. So,
many times in the past 14 years that I've been in practice that there are times when it's like, you need the help. I don't care if you can afford it. Get in here. Because they won't come, and they'll be in such pain they can hardly walk. So will you just come in?
Yeah.
People don't realize that there are people out there that are willing to help them, even if they can't afford it right now.
Yeah.
And it always gets paid back in some way, in some manner.
Way.
So
yeah.
I would highly recommend that anyone, you think that you'd found a clinic near you and everything sounds good, go call and talk to them. Because you got to have a good rapport with whoever is going to coach you into wellness. And if mm-hmm. they won't talk to you, then find somebody else.
mm-hmm.
And because you've got to have that.
Take it personally.
It just may not be a good personality fit, because everybody's different. It doesn't mean that every therapist is going to be the right one for you, or every acupuncturist. But, they may be the best one in the state, but if your personalities clash, it's not going to do you much good.
Yeah, exactly. They can be the best in the state, but not the best for you.
Andrea, is there anything else that you would like to share with us? Any websites or anything, or any contact information for yourself that where people can email you or...
that would be great.
Learn more?
our website for our wellness clinic is www.streampointwellness.com. And we have two acupuncturists, we have two massage therapists, and we do yoga, tai chi, qigong. I'm going to start teaching some meditation classes. So that's our website is the best way to kind of get an idea of who we are and what we offer. I am accessible through email and through phone. My email address is Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, @streampointacupuncture.com. And I can also be reached by phone at 859-469-4297. And even if it's someone wanting an appointment, wanting just to talk and have questions, I'm readily available, and I'd be happy to help anybody out.
That's wonderful. That is something that is a good mark of any healthcare professional, is someone who is willing to take the time to put you at ease. That's why I like the fact that you talk to the people for a while and go over what they'd written down, because not everybody explains everything the same. And you develop a rapport with somebody and a relationship, because it's very important to have that connection. At least for me, it is. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I like to have that.
Oh, absolutely. When I stepped in to decide to be a healthcare practitioner, it's a huge responsibility, and I definitely don't take it lightly, especially when you're working with human beings, with people. And I think it's very easy to forget sometimes that you're actually working with human beings, and what you do, what you say affects their livelihood.
And it's a whole person, and not just a name on a piece of paper or a chart.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for coming and enlightening us on what you do, because I was very curious, and I'm sure many people out there listening were as well. If anyone has any questions, please email me. If for some reason you didn't get Andrea's information when she gave it, you can always email me at mysticspirit@gmail.com. That's mysticspirit@gmail.com. That's mystic with no I. So if you have any questions or if you missed anything, please feel free to contact me. If you have any suggestions for future shows, I'd love to hear that as well. I actually did get to hear from a listener in Texas this past month from the previous show, and it was the highlight of my month, and for my guest, too, because it commented on her show that she participated in. So it made us wonderfully happy. So please do contact us and let us know you're listening. Thank you so much. I hope everyone has a wonderful spring day. And then go out and enjoy yourself. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.